Hey everybody, this is Angela Rizzo, Chief Marketing Officer for VinQ, and you're listening to Cue the Next Leader podcast, the show that highlights leaders in the automotive industry and how their journey helps others go further faster. In this podcast, we delve into the depths of success and unveil the secrets behind the achievements of managers, owners, and influencers who have revolutionized our industry. So tune in and embrace the power of these transformative stories. The Cue the Next Leader podcast is here to fuel your drive, empower your aspirations, and ensure that no limit is beyond your reach. Welcome to Cue the Next Leader podcast. Welcome to Cue the Next Leader, everybody. I'm so excited to have Kaylee Filio as my guest today. Welcome, Kaylee.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
I'm so excited. You know, you're on the other side of the mic now because usually you're the one doing the interviewing. How does it feel?
I'm a little nervous because I'm always the one that gets asked the questions. Now I have to answer them. So,
well, yeah, you refer to yourself as the fixed ops girl, right?
The parts girl. Yeah.
The parts girl. That's right. Can you tell me a little bit about your background, what you're doing, and why parts are so important?
Yeah. So my background is I've been with Parts Edge for over about 10 years overall. I've been in the sales and marketing role the last 6 years, maybe seven now. I lost track. but I started calling myself the parts girl when I started getting more active on LinkedIn, because I was noticing that in our industry, a lot of people were talking about fixed ops and really just service and not really parts. So I just kind of wanted to like put my name in there and just kind of put it out there like, hey, parts matters. And I'm the parts girl. So talk to me about parts. So
I love it. Well, tell me a little bit what you do at your company.
So I'm in charge of sales and marketing. So I do a lot. we're a fairly small company, but we've been around for about 25, 30 years now. And just in the last 7 years, we've really honed in on developing a marketing strategy and just content. So really I'm just, you know, website, content, educational information, all the marketing stuff. And then I'm also a salesperson too. So I'm in charge of having meetings and with dealerships and spiking interest to want to utilize what we do. So I'm kind of all over the place, but my main job is sales.
I love it. I'm trying to make sure that I've got the speaker view correctly, where we actually can both be on the screen. I'm kind of playing with my computer right now, so I apologize for that.
Okay.
Did I see this right on your resume? Like, were you with your current company and then you left to go be a realtor and then you came back? Can you talk a little bit about that process?
Yeah. So when I first started with Parts Edge, I was actually, I was managing a Subway restaurant and they were my regular customers. So that's kind of how I got into the industry, is just, I met them and they presented an opportunity and I was in this transition period of my life, like going to college, and I was, you know, really wanting a career, not working at managing Subway the rest of my life. So, that's how I got into Parts Edge. But then as I was working in the customer operations role, I was realizing that as I was learning about business and everything, I had this desire for sales and marketing. And I had a friend in the industry in real estate. So that's what made me explore that option and kind of take that leap, because I just kind of had to do it. I was like, you know, I'm not going to know unless I just go for it. And I did, and it wasn't what I thought. And it was very disappointing. Almost felt like a failure a little bit. I did sell a couple houses, but it just really wasn't what I thought. And maybe I didn't get aligned with the right group. And maybe that's what was meant to be, because it led me back to Parts Edge. So,
yeah, you know, this is the one thing that I really love about automotive is you can enter anywhere. Like, you can enter at a dealership, you know, being a porter or washing the cars and work your way up. We've heard of people's stories that have done that, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you were at the managing the Subway shop and then the guys from Parts Edge came in and offered you a position is amazing. I mean, you know, you have to pay attention to those types of either coincidences or opportunities, right? And then real estate is tough. I mean, it is a grind, and you have to spend years like building up your customer base and all. It's, you know, it really does. It's not for the faint of heart, and you can't just go in by yourself. You've got to be aligned with the right people, right? Is that part of what you experienced?
Yeah, that's what I experienced. And I did get aligned with some people because at first I was trying to do it on my own. And I think what I really didn't like was I didn't like the networking aspect with like my friends and family. and then the customer facing type sales. I think what I was realizing and why it led me back to Parts Edge is I really like B2B sales. And then I don't have to bother my family with what I do. None of them have it.
That is funny because it's easy to have somebody say, hey, I bought a car. You should go talk to this dealership. It's very different to say, hey, I want to buy and sell your house.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. You know what? I want you to buy a house for me. Like, what?
Yeah. And then I was so young too. That was the other obstacle that I lacked my confidence because I hadn't even bought a house yet. So I was still like, you know, learning and not, I hadn't actually gone through the process that I'm trying to tell people like, hey, work with me. And I've never even been through the process like myself. So.
Oh, wow. Well, I think
a learning experience.
A big learning experience. And I think it even made you appreciate the automotive industry even more. So tell me what it was like when you first started at Parts Edge. I mean, you know, you're very service oriented because you went from feeding people to now helping people, right? At Subway, you're actually, you know, creating food for people and you've got a team that does that for you, right? And now, and then you did automotive, which is like the second biggest purchase you'll do in your life. And then real estate, which is the first biggest purchase you'll do in your life. And now back to automotive. Tell me what making that change from the restaurant industry into the automotive industry was. What was that like for you?
You know, honestly, at first it was really hard to go from a physical job, like on your feet all day long, to sitting in an office was a really big transition. And then also too, the customers that we're servicing and talking to are all over the phone. So that was another thing where I'm not getting that physical. And I think that's why I what pushed me into sales and marketing, because I was missing that human interaction that you get when you're in sales, where you're networking at events or you get to talk to people a little bit more than what the service side of Parts Edge was doing.
Yeah. And then I love the fact that you went and tried something different and then you came back. And so how has that been for you?
It's been really great. I sometimes do regret maybe not going to actually work for a dealership. But you know, that's not where my cards were aligning. Just cause I do kind of beat myself up for not having that dealership experience. I have dealership experience with working with our customers, but not actually working at a dealership. But coming back was really great because I got to leave and get more of an outside perspective on sales and marketing. And that's really what Parts Edge was lacking, because Parts Edge had always done a really good job executing and getting customers off referral, because you know, we always did a really great job at what we were doing. But there was no strategy, there was no process of sales and marketing. So it was really easy to come back, because I was like, okay, if I'm going to do sales, I also need marketing, and we need to redo the brand. We need to redo the website. We need to, you know, have a process. So.
Well, that actually sounds like then the whole real estate venture actually was great, because it turned on some light bulbs in terms of the things that you needed to do to be successful at sales and marketing.
Yeah, it really did. And it connected me with our marketing person that I'm aligned with now, that helps me execute, you know, our content and our design and our website. So I'm not doing everything. You know, I was like, I need someone to help me execute it. But I had met her through real estate. So that's kind of, I think it just all was meant to be.
There you go. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So, you know, are there things that Like when you see young people coming out in the workforce, and people may or may not even think about automotive as a career, is there any advice you'd give people that are thinking about a career in automotive? You know, if it's their first job or if they're new to the industry?
Advice I would give. I would say the best advice is to, I guess, work hard and ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions, because I think sometimes we feel like we don't want to ask questions because we don't want to sound stupid, or, you know, we want to feel like we know what we're doing. But for the younger workforce, I think we need to ask questions, or they need to ask questions to learn. And yeah, I think automotive is a great industry. I'm pushing my little brother to get a job at like a food restaurant, because I feel like that really teaches the younger generation the structure to be able to do anything, really. The food industry is just teaches you a lot.
Yeah, you're right. You know, when I was younger, way back in the dark ages, I actually started my career in retail. So I was working at, they're no longer around there. They basically were Target stores before Target was Target. Actually, okay. Target bought, the company was called Gemco. And it was a membership department store. You paid $1 to become a member. And it's like a Target, you know, it had a grocery store. It had, you know, you could buy TVs, you could buy clothing, you could buy everything you needed for your house. And so yeah. I started there as a cashier, and then, you know, worked all through high school, and then worked my way up. And there's nothing like working with the public that will really hone your customer service skills, right? Yeah. Like, you've got somebody in your face that's not happy and you got to deal with it. You know, that really, you really grow up fast when you're presented with people in, you know, in the industry that are like in your face.
Absolutely. I feel like, yeah, I'm having flashbacks of all those horrible customers that I had to deal with. So, but there was also really good ones too, that taught me a lot. So it was like a good balance. But yeah. And then just with the auto industry, I feel like that if they could get more involved in high schools and getting kids more interested and aware, because I feel like my high school had, we had an auto body class, we had a metals class, and it really set my brother up to become a welder and get into that, you know, I know it's not quite auto, but kind of getting that into that industry. It was more off-road industry, but still kind of similar.
No, you know, you're really bringing up a good point, and it's really about teaching kids about the trades. Like, mm-hmm. You know, going to college and, you know, getting a 4-year degree and in business or, you know, wherever, that might not be the path for some people. And giving folks, especially high school kids, an understanding that, you know, working at a dealership or learning how to repair cars or being a plumber or an electrician, these are things that that ChatGPT and AI are not going to take over. We're going to need people in these industries. And I think we're doing the kids today a disservice by not giving them these types of options and, you know, doing some level of apprentice training or giving them the training they need while they're in high school so they can make a decision, right? Do I want to go into the trades or do I want to, you know, go to college? So I'd be interested in hearing your perspective on that as well.
Yeah, I agree with that, because for me, a trade or college really wasn't for me. Like, a 4-year degree wasn't my, I mean, I graduated high school, I did well, but academics were not really my, I just liked working. Mm-hmm. And I started working really young. So I didn't, it was really hard to kind of balance the two. And so I think that, I think the high schools push those 4-year degrees, and we need to push both so that kids can make the decisions on what's going to work and for them, and try both, you know, cause I tried to go to college and do the 4-year degree and realized, you know, that wasn't for me. So
it's so funny you say that, because I had the same experience. I ended up getting my degree later in life, the non-traditional method, where I didn't go to college out of high school. I worked. And I was earning money and, you know, that felt pretty good. Right. And then I had an opportunity to move up in my career. And my boss said, well, you're going to have a degree if you're going to get promoted to the next level. So I went to night school and, you know, and got my degree that way. You know, but you're absolutely right. It's not for everyone. And people need to understand that there are choices and that you can make a good living and not have a college degree. You know,
and there's nothing right? wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Smart.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and my parents couldn't afford to send me to college. So, yeah. You know, you have all these people taking out loans and all that. And some people just can't afford to do that. So
yeah. That's pretty much when I stopped, when I had to start paying. I was like, I don't think I want to go into debt for this.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, when you think about, you know, your work, what you've done professionally, did you ever have like a mentor that, you'd consider like your most important mentor and, you know, why would you consider them an important mentor?
You know, I feel like it's been all of my bosses that I've had. So my boss at Subway and my manager, they were really, they like took me under their wing and mentored me and helped me grow up. And, you know, I really could rely on them. Both my boss at Subway, the owner of the Subway restaurant, she was very involved. And then she had a manager who I got to work with a lot every day, who I call her my Subway mom. So, yeah, they helped me. And then just my bosses now, Chuck and Cliff, the founders of Parts Edge, they're two very different people, just like my, at Subway, Maria and September were two very different people, but, like this, them two together helped like balance that and really mentor me to make the decisions. Cause they supported me when I went to them and was like, you know, I think I want to go into real estate. I want to explore some things. And I gave them a really large notice of like, this is what I'm thinking, but I need a little bit of time to like, make sure I sort things out. So they kept me while I worked. I think I worked for like another 3 months for Parts Edge before I went into real estate.
That's very cool. You know, and I always like to tell people that, you know, your job satisfaction, 95% of it is who you're working for.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it, I think, you know, you and I have been very fortunate in our careers that I know I've had some great mentors, and it sounds like you're working for a couple of great guys right now too.
Yeah, they're really great. I can call them for just about anything, for advice or just needing that. And then that push of like, you can do this. I believe in you. So it's good.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like that you're working in an environment where there's no fear. Like there's no fear to ask a question and there's no fear, right? Can you talk a little bit about how that really sets you free when you can act in a fearless way?
Oh, it's been amazing. And it didn't start completely right from the get-go. You know, like they had reservations, they had concerns, you know, cause they don't have a sales and marketing background. They're tech, one's a parts expert and one's a very technical person, you know, programmer and sense. So, the sales and marketing stuff was a little different. And, you know, the first couple of years were rough, you know, they would question me a little bit more. But once, you know, things started really falling into place and working, I don't get questioned as much, and it's been, really rewarding. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. Sometimes I call, I'm like, I'm not calling to ask to spend more money, you know, cause I really have to like, I want to spend this much money and this is what we're going to get. And I don't know, hopefully it works.
I love it. I love it. One lesson that you can really think of that your job has taught you that you think everyone should learn at some point in life?
Oh, that is a good question. I want to think about this one. So a lesson I've learned that really taught me. I feel like I always go back to the confidence aspect of when I first started in my role of just being really hard on myself. And I think that a lot of times when I would talk to dealers, and it even still happens sometimes, where they can tell in my way I'm describing things that I don't have that confidence sometimes. And early on, I learned that, you know, confidence sometimes it's a little bit of a natural thing, but it is actually something that you have to kind of always be working at. And I think what it boils down to is networking with people, constantly reading and educating yourself so that you can talk confidently. And it's not really a confidence of like, this is what I believe and I'm right. It's more of like, this is what my perspective on things. What do you think? I think just learning how to be confident is what I've learned.
I think that's a really great answer. Mm-hmm. And I love the educational aspect, keep learning. And then the networking aspect. And that feels like, especially the networking aspect, getting to know people. You know, you seem like you're a very social person. You like to be around people. I think you mentioned that earlier.
Kind of not really.
Really?
Well, okay. I like it for my job, but like, I'm pretty much like for my social, like personal life, I have friends, but I like to be alone. Like I really enjoy, like when I get the house to myself, I'm a person that likes to be alone.
You know, that's funny because I was talking to somebody, I think it might've been an interview that I was interviewing somebody for one of the roles here. And I said, you know, how do you describe yourself? And he said, oh, I'm an introverted extrovert.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that makes sense. I had never really thought of myself that way, but I like my time alone. You mm-hmm. know, I like not having like anything on my schedule,
yes.
you know?
And my husband's the complete opposite. He likes to be busy. He likes to have the day planned and everything. And I'm like, can we just chill and not do anything?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So if you won $10 million tomorrow, what would you spend it on?
$1 million. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, for starters, I would continue doing what I'm doing. I would probably invest some of it in Parts Edge to help, you know, fast track what we're already doing. But I would buy property so that my family, we can all kind of be together. Because I feel like that's kind of what separated us. My older brother's in Montana living his dream with land and horses. And my mom is in town with me, but it would be cool to just have that here if I could get my older brother here, but have that land. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's what I would do. Just make sure everyone's
your own compound.
Yeah, our own compound.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So if you had to write a book tomorrow, what would you write about?
I would, you know, I've thought about this and I don't know if it'll ever happen, but I would write about my experience with my dad and his addiction and what that did to our family and what it was like losing him to addiction. That's something that I've always wanted to write about eventually. One day I'll find time and it might just help me get some more closure. But I think a lot of people talk about the addiction part, but they don't talk about what the family goes through.
Yeah. Well, that would be a very important subject. And I'm sorry that that was part of your experience. But I can tell that it's tough.
It's very tough, but you know what? I'm very positive with it because, you know, I've gotten, what are the words? It's really helped me grow and set me up and really pushing me and what my life is now. I think just going through that because it's been 5 years since my dad passed away, I think, so it's still fresh-ish, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We get, you know, through
it. We do. You know, my both of my parents are gone. They I'm sure they were a lot older than your dad when they passed. It's so weird because it's like there are days when I feel like picking up the phone to call my mom. She's been gone 13 years. And then there are days where I can't remember what she looked like. You know, it's like the grieving process is so difficult. And it changes every day. It's different.
Every day is different. I think I was just talking to someone about this, like, I feel like the first like 6 months after someone passes that, I don't know how spiritual I want to get with this one, but we're really connected with them and getting a lot of closure and answers. And that as long as we can see those, signs or hear what they're trying to tell us, because, you know, not that I don't hear or talk to my dad as much now, but I feel like the first 6 months, even the year, but the first like couple of months, it was like I constantly, like he was showing up in my dreams and I was like getting closure and, you know, but I was also asking for it and wanting to hear that stuff. So, yeah, I think it's the grieving process is, it never goes away. But it does get kind of better.
Yeah, it does. I have a great book. If you don't mind, I would love to send you this book. It's called Testimony of Light. And a friend of mine gave this book to me when my father passed away. He passed first and then my mom passed after him. And I'm not going to tell you what the book's about. It's just kind of interesting and different, but we'll get your address when we're done here. And I'm going to send this book to you. I actually keep extra copies of it so that I can, like, if I find someone that, you know, yeah. I feel like they really need to read this book, then I'll just send you a copy. So.
Oh, that's so cool. Those are the best. I just got goosebumps. So I'm like, those are my favorite kind of books. I can already kind of tell. So I'm excited.
Yeah. And it's very spiritual. And I would love to hear from you, like what you thought about it. It really helped me. So I hope that it'll help you through this process too.
Thank you so much. I will share how it goes, what I think of it.
That sounds great. So, you know, it sounds like you love the business you're in. You love working for the guys at Parts Edge and you're doing great, but if you could start your own business tomorrow, what would it be?
You know what? I've thought about this a little bit too. I would be, I don't know what it's called, but I would love to help businesses, create a brand and, just create a strategy to grow. It's something that I see when I go to people's websites or I see their social, I'm like, all these ideas of like how I can make it better. Almost like when you go into a house, like wanting to redecorate it. Cause I also do that too in my mind, but, that would be, I don't know what type of business that would be, but I've definitely thought about it. And I even had practiced it with my mom's, boyfriend's company. He rents out Broncos. And I redid their website because I was like, hey, I think I have some ideas if you don't mind me helping. So, and that was really fun to do. So I think I like that.
That would be great. I mean, you could set up your own marketing consultancy, you know, you could just.
Oh, I guess it would be that, huh?
Right? That's what you're doing. Yeah, you can. And, you know, marketing is a huge, there's so much to marketing, but you could be the person that specializes in brand, website, social engagement. You could pick those three things and say, yeah. If you need help, you know, call Kaylee. I'm here.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I think that's something that might happen later on in the future, but I'm hyper focused on Parts Edge because we're on a really, really big growth path right now. And I'm very excited to be a part of it. And it's kind of the same thing, you know, I've set up the website, set up the brand and just like, you know, helped it grow.
I love it. And it's, you get so much great experience when you're working for a company. I know it's been around for a while, but in some ways it kind of still feels like a startup where you can go in and you can do your thing because the company is so small. So.
Yes. Yeah. That's the cool part that I love about it. Cause it's so close that it's when I was in real estate, I worked for a company that sold title and escrow products. And it was such a corporate style company where I missed the Parts Edge closed net kind of, you know, I don't know what to call it. Small business.
Yeah.
Startup.
And it's casual. And, you know, I mean, we work hard, you know, we're not just coming in and working 9 to 5 and punching the clock. I mean, I'm always thinking about what we're doing here at VinQ, how to make things better. You know, that's what it's like.
You have dreams sometimes that you like, I'll wake up. And I'm like, I had this dream that was a great idea.
I keep a piece of paper and a pen next to my bed because I get my best ideas in the morning. Like when I wake up, even if it's 3 a.m, I'm like, oh my God, and I'll write it down because if I don't write it down, I'll forget.
Yeah. I get them when I'm falling asleep. So I have to wake myself back up to write it down really quick. And sometimes I'll wake up. I'm like, man, I should have wrote that down.
Well, tell me a little bit about your podcast. How long have you been doing it? What was the inspiration to start it? Just tell me about your podcast.
It's been over a year. So I think I passed the year mark. I think it was in May, maybe. I'm horrible. I should know like the exact day I started, but I don't remember. And so it started because when I started networking online, because the whole COVID thing just changed how we connected with people. I started going on podcasts and, you know, I was like, you know, a lot like I would go back to, you know, we're all talking about fixed ops, but really focusing on service. There was no focus on parts. So, you know, I was like, you know, I should start a podcast. And when I started it, I was like, you know, I'm going to talk about parts all the time, but it didn't really turn into that. It was more having interviews like this, where I was getting people's stories and you know, getting to know people. So that's what I really wanted to use my marketing or my background to help other people get their names out there. And so that's kind of where it started, but I am doing a summer camp series. So I don't know when this is going to go out, but I think it's in July. We'll start rolling out the summer camp series where we're really focused on specific topics in fixed ops. And I'm getting experts to really talk about some of the topics. So I'm excited about that. And it's like a summer camp.
I love it. That sounds very exciting. I'm going to have to listen in and listen to a few more of your podcasts. I really find you very delightful. I'm glad we connected. And I just have one more question for you. Is there one question that you wished I had asked you that I didn't ask you?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I feel like we talked about, you know, everything. We didn't really talk about Parts Edge that much, but I'm okay with not talking about parts. I mean, I want to talk about it, but I don't, you know, I want people to be curious and be like, what is it? I don't really know what it is. So,
well, give us the elevator pitch for Parts Edge.
Put me on the spot. I honestly feel like I don't really have an elevator speech or pitch, because I feel like what I say is different depending on who I'm talking to. But from what I understand, what you guys do, it's very comparable and similar, but for parts. You guys are doing a lot of stuff for used cars and the inventory and doing analysis to really figure out what dealerships should be stocking in regards to used cars, I think is what I understand.
That's part of it.
And that's kind of part of what we do, is helping parts managers set up their DMS to be more efficient to operate just kind of in a not, I don't want to say AI, because it's not AI, but it really just is more proactive and predicting what they should actually be stocking based on their actual market demand, not their auto stock replenishment programs. So
you're kind of like a mini Walmart, but for the parts, like really understanding what's in inventory, understanding how the inventory, when the inventory gets depleted, and then making sure they know when to order the next.
Absolutely.
Things, right. That's what it is, right?
Yeah. Cause we're setting it up, I always say, in a more granular way. So the typical parts manager has their parts into like 10 different buckets of phasing criteria pricing. We times that by 10 and set it up in a more granular way so that they can basically micromanage the data and what they should actually be stocking. So yeah, like a Walmart thing.
That's great. And then, so that sounds like they're going to be more efficient with their money. I'm thinking that there's a tremendous amount of money tied up in the value of the parts inventory.
Yeah, just like used cars, they actually have their money invested in, and they're trying to get a return on that money. And some dealerships have, you know, 200, 500,000, some have millions of dollars invested. So we're, you know, just, it's not just the DMS. That's why I said it was part of it. There's also reporting and analytics to look at and learn how to read the data. And that's another, I guess, training or consultative side of our business, is helping parts managers understand the data and giving them the tools to do that. I think you froze.
I did.
I broke Zoom.
It's okay. It's the internet here. I think it just kind of, we're right next to a Google building. Isn't that the way it works?
They suck it all away from you.
We're right. Well, it's Google Fiber. It's like, aren't we tapped into you guys?
Yeah, it should be right there.
I think it would. I know. So I just need you to, when I mentioned and asked about all the inventory and all the money that's in inventory, you said there are some companies that have 10,000 or millions of dollars in their parts. Can you answer the question again so that I can pick up what I lost?
Yeah. And I'm trying to remember where it was. Oh, I basically was like, you know, dealerships, it's their actual money, just like used cars tied up. And some have 100,000, 500,000, some have millions of dollars. And the goal is to really help parts managers, you know, manage that. But also the other side of our service is the consultative side, is really just giving the parts managers the tools to analyze the data, understand what they're looking at to make better decisions, and giving them the tools to do that.
I love it. Well, Kaylee, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today. I'm going to stop the recording so that I can get your address and I can send you that book.
Yeah.
But I just, you were an absolute delight. I'm so glad that I got to meet you, and I really look forward to, I don't know if you go to any of the shows or if you're out and about, but I would love to connect up with you again sometime.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to actually seeing you in person.
If you've made it this far, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, we want to thank you. We hoped you enjoyed this episode. And if so, please leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. See you next time.